This is a true story, and I've shared it with the congregation before. My notes indicate that the last time was on Christmas Eve 2005, some time ago. The story first appeared in the LA Times, then was reprinted in the Boston Globe, where I encountered it. Mike Goldberg, his clothes reeking and stained from 3 hours of burrowing through a Los Angeles city garbage dump, was weeping. He was surrounded by mounds of trash, but in his hands was the silver menorah that had been in his family for 400 years. It was bent but repairable. Goldberg raised his eyes and in Hebrew recited the holiest of Jewish prayers, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. All for the candelabrum, which his Jewish ancestors in Poland had used to celebrate Hanukkah in the 16th century, and then handed down from generation to generation, from Poland to Paris to New York to Los Angeles. The menorah is the symbol of the 8 days of Hanukkah, and as usual, the Goldbergs removed theirs 2 weeks ago from the bank vault where they stored it for safekeeping. Goldberg's wife, Ellen, teaches religion to children at a Los Angeles temple each Wednesday. She decided to show the family heirloom to her class. Afterwards, she dutifully wrapped the menorah in newspapers and brought it home in a paper bag, leaving it in her study. Last Sunday, while the rest of the family was watching television, she went to the study to unwrap and polish the menorah, and it wasn't there. She looked in the other rooms of the house, then went back and checked them again, systematically going from cupboard to cupboard, closet to closet. Nothing. Only then, after she knew the menorah was not in the house, after she realized that the cleaning lady must have thrown it out, did she tell her husband. You and I are going to have to take the day off and go to the dump, Goldberg told his wife. She thought he was joking, knowing that the trash had been collected 2 days earlier. The menorah was probably buried under tons of garbage and dirt. But Goldberg was not joking. It's been with us for 400 years, and I wasn't going to let it go, Goldberg said. I felt like I had 400 years of history looking over my shoulder. And so it was that the kitchen cabinet designer, whose usual mode of dress is a three-piece suit, came to call the West Los Angeles Refuse Collection Department on the following Monday. At first, his plight fell on deaf ears as the person on the other end of the line told him to forget the idea of searching the dump. So I asked for Mr. Goldberg, and they said they didn't have a Mr. Goldberg working there, Goldberg said. I asked for Mr. Cohen and Mr. Schwartz. Then I went to the phone book because I couldn't think of any more Jewish names. I went back, and I asked for Mr. Ackerman, and they told me they had a Mrs. Ackerman. Evelyn Ackerman, a clerk with the Refuse Collection Department, agreed to check on Goldberg's request with Edward O'Neill, her supervisor. Goldberg talked to O'Neill, who informed him that the trash collection had been delayed 1 day to Saturday because of Thanksgiving. Then O'Neill checked his roster and discovered that for some reason, truck number 848, which collected from the Goldberg's neighborhood, had not yet been dumped. But O'Neill told Goldberg that truck 848 would probably be dumping its 8 tons of garbage at the landfill within an hour of their conversation. When Ray Brown and R.C. Claiborne drove truck 848 to the landfill at 9 a.m., Mike Goldberg was there waiting. They were very cooperative, Goldberg said. They made a long, spread-out discharge and jumped right in to help when I explained what happened. The bulldozer operators plowed a dirt wall around Goldberg so no other truck would dump on top of him as he sat amidst the garbage. Eventually, Brown and Claiborne said they had to get back to work. I was looking through every bag. There were bags that had broken open and loose garbage, and I was really wishing I had a shovel, Goldberg said. All of a sudden, I saw the handle of a shovel sticking up from the garbage. It was not only a shovel, it was my shovel. The previous week, I'd been cleaning some stuff out and found a shovel we had brought from New York. It was rusted, and I threw it out with the trash, and there it was with my name on it. I said, okay, God, no problem. I didn't have a care in the world. If the shovel wasn't a sign from heaven, I didn't know what was. I just dug a path right through the trash. I dug down to the dirt, looking through every bag. I was sitting down with garbage bags on my lap, ripping open each one and going through it. I was whistling. If someone had seen me happily going through one bag after another, they would have thought I was crazy. Finally, Goldberg ripped through the right trash bag and then the paper bag inside. He had found the menorah. Goldberg returned home and showed it to his wife. He called Mrs. Ackerman to thank her. I felt it was worth whatever little bit of backtracking we could do, she said Thursday. Something that valuable was worth looking for, said O'Neill, the supervisor. Thursday afternoon, the menorah was sitting on the Goldbergs' kitchen counter. Goldberg said his first thought was to take it to a silversmith immediately, but he decided to wait until after Hanukkah. He and the family wanted it with them during the holiday. I realized it was important to put a candle in it and to use it for the holidays. The symbolism is incredibly apt. Goldberg paused for a moment, his wife seated beside him. He reviewed all the twists and turns of his quest, the day's delay in the trash pickup, truck 848 being the only one of O'Neill's fleet that didn't dump, finding the shovel. Tell me that can just happen, he said. This is a season of miracles against all odds. Miracles present themselves in different ways. And sometimes they present themselves simply with people who care. People who step outside their usual job description and make a difference. If the holidays are about anything, and if Newtown, Connecticut is about anything, it is about the willingness of people to step outside their comfort zone, their job description, out of anything they wanted to do, hope to do, and wish to do, and make a difference. If we have a calling in this world, it might indeed be that.
This is a story called Christmas Magic, and we don't have record of the author, although I believe Mark's notes said that it was printed in the Church for the Larger Fellowship newsletter in 1997. Do you have a favorite story of Christmas magic? When I was a kid, I heard stories of flying reindeer and elves who made toys and lived at the North Pole. I heard that on Christmas Eve at midnight, animals could talk. I heard about nutcrackers that came to life. I heard so many of these magical stories when I was little that I started to wonder, why did magic never happen to me? All of us secretly wait for a glimpse of Christmas magic. The people who've lost their jobs could use a little magic this year. Those of us who are homeless or suffering this Christmas really need some magic. Now, Shel Silverstein, one of my favorite poets, incidentally, he wrote a poem that may give us a clue how to find it. It goes like this. Sandra's seen a leprechaun. Eddie touched a troll. Lori danced with witches once. Charlie found some goblin's gold. Donald heard a mermaid sing. Susie spied an elf. But all the magic I have known, I've had to make myself. Maybe we could find Christmas magic all around us if we just knew where to look. When you hear on the news or in your church that communities have rallied to raise several tons of food for a food drive, or when you hear the heroic things people do to make sure children of even the poorest families who celebrate Christmas have a gift to open on Christmas morning, that must be magic. When people smile at each other on the street for no good reason, that's magic. Sometimes it can be very difficult to find magic on Christmas, amid all the bustle and business and wishes that don't come true. Sometimes, no matter how carefully we plan, things aren't the way we'd like them to be. Sometimes the magic we make takes a long time to show itself, or looks different than we thought it would. But keep looking. Always keep looking. Because the magic, it could be waiting in the smell of warm cookies for sharing, or in a kind gesture, or in the starry sky.